Bryan Danielson, the ROH World Champion and best wrestler in the world. You are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
This is Chris Vianney, DNA Knockout.
This is Lacey Von Erich.
I'm Al Snow.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Stampede Kid TJ Wilson.
Everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You listen to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host, Tim Stein.
Hail to the king, baby.
You will bow to me, Spud.
Let's face it. Most of you don't like me.
Will,
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want.
Mace.
Everybody knows I'm perfect in every way.
And the Omega.
I'm half man, half amazing. I am better than you.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby. Oh man, what is that sweet sound in the air? That is the sound of millions of Colts fans having their hearts broken. Welcome. Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I, as always, am Will, joined by Mace.
Who that?
Omega.
Go jump in a car fire, Will.
How's that rope around your neck feel?
Not tight enough.
Shut up, Lauren.
You know what?
We got...
You know what? I'm not even going to let you introduce me. I'm going to say this right now. You had to wait 43 years to win one. I tell you what, win a couple, and then you can talk shit to the Colts fans, because at least they've won one more recent than 43 years.
Not even a Saints fan. And, of course, Tim Stein.
Oh, yeah, who dat, who dat? Yeah, live on past laurels all you want, Spud. Fact of the matter is, today, February, it's 2010,
hey, Tim.
And the Colts didn't win another one. So who dat,
no,
who dat,
they,
who dat?
Tim, they didn't, but you know what? You could have cared less 2 weeks ago, so you can shove it too. And I don't even care that the Saints won. I don't. I could care less if the Saints won. I did want the Colts to win because they're geographically close to the city of Cleveland, and they are, you know, a team that I like to watch if the Browns are not in it, which they usually aren't. But I will say this. If I hear one Saints fan, one media analyst, or Saints player talk about how they deserve to win that Super Bowl because of Katrina, then they need to have that Lombardi trophy ripped away from them. They deserve to win that Super Bowl because they were the best team in the NFL this year. not because of a hurricane that happened 5 years ago.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Spud Show. My God, you take things over, don't you? Holy shit. Fact of the matter is, 2 weeks ago, I said, oh, he hung up, or did you hang up on him? Oops. Oh, well. Maybe he'll call back later. Fact of the matter is, 2 weeks ago, I said, you know, the Saints, and boom, today, the New Orleans Saints are Super Bowl champions. All I can say is Santo Loco, be safe down on Bourbon Street, man. That's all I got to tell you. But before we get into it.
What are you talking about, Tim? He's starting the riots up there, man.
Oh, yeah, knowing Santo, probably. But hang on. Let's get into this here. Ah, there we go.
I'm just glad the Bears got their loss avenged, finally.
So, officially, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Russ Talk Radio, WTR Sunday Night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, a Super Bowl Sunday night. A lot of people tuning in to watch the football game, and congratulations to the New Orleans Saints for winning, what do you guys call it, the Vince Lombardi Trophy, I do believe.
Yeah.
Not bad. excuse me. Man, that's refreshing and good and cold. Omega, did you have money on the game?
No. I don't
Okay,
bet.
So you're upset because you didn't have money on the game?
It wouldn't have gone my way anyway.
Okay, I just want to, you know, leading up to the Super Bowl tonight, I paying attention to all the stuff going on Fan 960 here in Calgary, and the whole thing was, you know, all Super Bowl all day. They got into talking about what things you could bet on in Las Vegas. Anybody hear about anything about this? The lines that they had in Vegas.
Not a clue.
Not just, you know, over, under, who's going to win, who's going to get the first touchdown. They actually had a line on the color of the Gatorade the winning coach would get dumped on. Orange, I think, was 5-1. Lime green was 2-1. And blue was 7-1. And if you paid attention, you would have seen that the color was orange. So if you bet orange, you won. Not only that, the guy for the New Orleans Saints, what's his name, Reggie Bush, he's dating Kim Kardashian. Is that correct?
I heard he made some sort of deal that if they won, that he proposed.
Well, he's in trouble now. So, but just thinking about it here. They brought this up. Kim Kardashian's measurements, when you add all three measurements together, total 90. And you could have gone some convoluted way. The line was, will Reggie Bush get at least as many yards as his girlfriend's measurements total?
Oh, God. I mean, Americans need help on their gambling, for fuck's sake. Here in Australia, all we do is we bet on who's going to win. Who's going to get the first goal, and what's the difference? That's it. Those three things. Yeah, you guys bet on everything. I'm sure there was a bet for what color underwear the players were wearing.
Oh, quite probably, quite possibly. I mean, in Vegas, you can vote on absolutely everything, literally everything. It's
how
amazing.
How many times did the coach fart during the game?
Yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised. I don't think I'd want to go into that book, though.
It was six, by the way.
Okay, thank you very much. Was that the over or under?
No, it was definitely under.
Mm. Okay, so if you bet under, then you won. I can't wait to get back to Vegas.
So, Omega, what's your address? What? I think I got a Saints hat you'll love.
Oh.
Well, I've got to send him a whole heap of stuff. I'll see if I can get one.
Oh, yeah. Rock also brings up a very important point. Yeah, the over-under was 1 minute 42 seconds, and what we're talking about is you could actually lay down money on how long the national anthem was going to be. And I believe the over-under was 1 minute 42 seconds, if I remember correctly. It's absolutely hilarious. But enough shop talk. Why don't we talk a little bit about professional wrestling here, guys? Starting off at the top, the WWE has decided to end the ECW brand officially and starting up WWE, how do they pronounce that, NXT?
Oh, God.
Next. That's what they're going for.
Yeah, okay.
No,
now,
I heard the commercial. It's NXT.
It's WWE NXT. Now,
yeah.
Here's the thing. There's a...
They might as well call it WWE Let's Get Rid of Christian and the title belt.
Oh, there you go. I think that this might quite possibly lead to us finally seeing Christian on the quote-unquote main roster someplace. Because NXT, WWE NXT, is supposed to be like a developmental thing. And we were talking about this like a year ago. You know, kill ECW, change the name, and make it like, you know, the minor leagues for the up-and-coming talent. Well, they're finally doing that. The thing about this...
Yeah,
there's
finally,
a,
after how many years of pissing on ECW?
Exactly. There's a wrestling federation in Scotland, I do believe, that is already using the name NXT. And I'm going to be very interested to find out exactly how that plays out. They made some kind of a press release that they were flattered that WWE decided to use the same name for their product. In Scotland, their NXT Wrestling Federation happens to be a developmental league as well for another.
It's in Scotland. WWE doesn't give a shit.
So, yeah, but when you stop and you think about it, you know, you go with the global trademarks and stuff like that. WWE is a global company. The Scotland guys aren't global. WWE is going to probably wind up steamrolling over this little independent federation in Scotland and totally destroying it, you know, tearing it to pieces. And next thing you know, there's going to be letters presented to these guys saying, well, you know, you're infringing on our trademark because we trademarked and copyrighted the NXT brand name, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, that's because independent rarely copyright their name and their letters.
Yeah, which is something they should do. And all it takes is the poor man's copyright. Simply write it down, put it in a registered letter, mail it to yourself, and don't open it. And that's as good as a copyright if you ever have to take it to court.
I remember reading that they mentioned something about the common laws or something, that they had been using the name for 6 months. It's basically theirs.
Mm-hmm. So... that's, you know, where that is. But as far as WWE ending ECW, I do believe it was Taz who's a little bit ticked off at Vince over this. You guys hear about this?
Taz has been in my spy call on it, but I'm sure Tommy Dreamer's got a lot to say, but he just won't say it.
Well, yeah, Tommy Dreamer is a little political, I think. A little more into the politics than Taz is. Thing is, Tom Dreamer is still over there. Well, Taz is over at WWE. He can say whatever the hell he wants as long as it's not, you know, defamatory or slanderous, really. But stop and you think about it. Is this a justified thing for Taz to basically shoot on Vince McMahon for not thanking the ECW originals? Is that a big deal?
I say it is valid. You know,
yeah,
those guys worked on bringing the brand name up and making it actually worth something.
No.
Vince can buy it because Paul Heyman can't learn how to balance a checkbook. And when Vince McMahon finally lets it die, he does it by pissing all over it for, what, 2-3 years.
Yeah.
You know, and then at the end of the day, he thanks the producers, the cameramen, everybody behind the scenes... but he doesn't pay any tribute to Paul Heyman, the guys that fucking started it all. So that's basically him taking one gigantic shit on it at the end, saying, ha ha, fuck you.
No, well, not just Paul Heyman, but all the guys that, you know, put all their blood, sweat, and tears, literally, into the product. Originally. Taz being one of them.
Exactly.
Yeah. So everybody, yeah, we're gonna open up the phone lines. If you have any quick comments here, you might as well get them in before we start really getting into stuff. 888-357-9876, option 1 on your cell phone or your home phone, or if you've got Skype and high speed connection, add Sir Rockin to your Skype list and feel free to chime in. Hello, Corelli. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night. It was just that easy.
Yeah, this whole ECW NXT thing, as you know, I do recap it for a wrestling site. And I'm not sure why the guy like has it pissed off, because in WWE, ECW does not mean Extreme Championship Wrestling. The original ECW died in 2005. That whole one-night stand was their final show. That was booked by ECW.
Crowley? They're using the letters, they were building it off the legacy, it's all over it. It doesn't matter whether it died in 2005, whether it died 20 minutes ago. They were building off the credibility and the whole thing that those guys worked their asses off. Vince came in, got lucky, bought the damn thing, and he decided to capitalize on its popularity with those fans. Yes, in the end, he drove those fans away, but he was still capitalizing on the legacy that was built around those three letters.
But I'm pretty sure
Taz is getting pissed off about
these. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure I kind of agree with Taz. He should have made an announcement regarding them, but not at this death of ECW. He should have made an announcement after One Night Stand in 2005, because that was the last death of ECW. That's when the original died, because that was booked by Dreamer. WWE just took money at them. The last official original ECW was 05.
It doesn't matter if it's the original, it's still capitalizing on the legacy and blood, sweat, and tears that those guys put in for all those years.
Yeah,
that's the thing. It doesn't matter to the point where the original died. It's what happened afterwards that has gotten Taz pissed off, and that's why he's commenting now.
Yeah, especially remember the modern ECW. It was based around the old ECW wrestlers. You still had the Sandman, you still had RVD, you still had Tommy Dreamer. You had a
Balls
Mahoney, that was the next one. You still had a lot of guys from the old ECW that was there to bring credibility to that brand so WWE could make money off of it. And now that there's nobody left, and there's no reason to keep that name around.
Yeah, basically points down to Vince McMahon living off the laurels of somebody else.
But you did forget that Vince McMahon did support the original ECW financially in the last few years. So without him actually helping them a few years ago, they wouldn't have went as long as they did.
Well, yeah, but that's like trying to start up your own little business, your own little convenience store by going to grab a loan from the mob.
But, I think all these divisionals, they should say, yes, thank you for ending it, but not be negative about the product, and say, thank you to the man for ending it, and thank you for doing a new product. And I think NXT will be decent, because we will see guys from ECW on TV. The guys like Brian Danielson and Mr. Perfect's son, which would be fantastic.
Well, one thing for damn sure, we can't give Vincent a hard time over presenting something that we know is an ECW as ECW. We can't give him a hard time about that anymore. So now we can say, okay, let's see what happens with this new thing that you got coming on. And, oh, by the way, could you put Christian on SmackDown for us because he deserves it?
I think that's where he's going. I've read a report from the Observer, and that's where he's rumored to be going, which would be good.
Well, there's no way they're going to resist putting Edge and Christian back on the same brand.
Well, that would just be stupidity, don't you think, Omega?
They have for about a year.
Well, it's WWE. What do you expect? So as long as they're moving Christian, they might as well put him with somewhere where there's already a guaranteed either feud or tag team or whatever. There's a lot they could do with those two.
I kind of like the idea of Christian being the last ECW champ.
Yeah, since he has been the longest reigning WWE ECW champion, for him to retire it gives it a bit more credibility in his dying days.
Well, not only that, but ever since Christian popped on the scene and a bit before that, I've actually thoroughly enjoyed the WWE brand of ECW, not because of its letters, but because they have actually put on a lot of solid matches with a lot of young guys that have surprised me. Zack Ryder being one of the top. I remember that first match him and Christian had together, just it blew me away because I wasn't expecting it, and it was a hell of a match between the two. And if that's what they keep with NXT, then you know what? I look forward to it. I've been saying that they need to at least dropped the ECW branding for a while now, and, well, they're finally doing it, and, you know, I look forward to it if they keep the same quality of matches they've had.
Yeah, I think, I've been in the description of the other day, it would be a lot of guys from ECW and a few veterans. So, like, guys like Regal will stay around, and Goldust. Christian is definitely going there.
Which, yeah. Christian deserves to get put on another show. He's basically carried ECW for the last year. So, I mean, it's about time they moved him to another brand where he can really really get into his stride, and we can hopefully see him get a push he's deserved for so long.
Well, he was set to return to the SmackDown brand, but because everyone on the internet knew that he was going to be the guy behind the whole Jeff Hardy attack, they pushed him to ECW as a swerve.
Yeah,
and
that's Vince going, ha, I swerved you.
But he's done well since his return. He used TNA to build up his character, and now WEW gained a character from that, and now they might possibly be able to gain a main event talent return from TNA.
That's how Christian's deserved it. He has busted his ass for years.
Christian might bloody deserve it, but you know he's not going to get it. He's going to come into SmackDown. He'll be lucky to break out of the mid-card.
That might be an unfortunate truth. I mean, despite having credibility as the ECW champion for that long, it is still a championship, but it's not one that's taken seriously by the WWE in the least. So, and keep in mind, I mean, it doesn't matter in Vince's eyes how much Christian gets cheered or how good he is in the ring at anything he does. He still doesn't see him as a star, no matter what the fans say, no matter what the outcry is. He's always going to be underperforming. He's always going to be held back, underrated.
But I think if the fans get behind him and buy his merchandise, money speaks. And if he's and if Christian makes money, Vince will push him. Just look at Jeff Hardy's push to the WWE title. He was the number one seller of merchandise.
Well, you know, that's the question. Can Christian make money if he's put on SmackDown or Raw? Yeah. Will his T-shirt sell? Will people buy tickets just because Christian's on the card? That's, you know, that's the big thing that I guess Vince is looking at, or would look at, rather.
Okay. Yeah. That's the thing with that, though. You're saying, oh, yeah, if he gets the merchandise and people buy the merchandise and all this stuff, in order for people to buy that merchandise, he's got to be pushed as a character that people can get behind. Said, Christian will end up on SmackDown, he'll be lucky to break out of the mid-card, and there'll be no way known he'll be anywhere near a title anytime this year, and they'll just bury the living crap out of him. And that's not going to do anything to boost his merchandise and make him look like a better star. The guys that are going to end up selling the merchandise are the guys that get the TV time. That's why you guys like Cena and Triple H and DX and, for God's sake, Hornswoggle and all those people are getting their merchandise sold, is because they've been given significant airtime to show what they can do both on the mic and in the ring.
Yeah.
Well, see, I look at it and I hope it goes the way of CM Punk. Punk isn't a big guy, but he's good on the mic. He's good in the ring, and, you know, I can have some hope.
Well, you know, Trey brings up a pretty interesting point in the chat room there. You know, Christian being relegated to ECW, don't you think that was Vince's way of punishing him for leaving WWE and going over to TNA originally?
That might be. I mean, it's the same way MVP was put on a losing streak to see if he'd stick around for a bigger push. They probably shoved Christian off to the side just to say, okay, if you want to get back onto the main roster, you got to go to the C show for as long as we want you there. And he's done pretty well at it.
He's made it work like mad.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm totally with Trey, what he says in the chat room there. Be great with Christian coming into SmackDown and have Punk with the Straight Edge Society try to woo him and join, you know, make him join the group.
That'd be a great
Yeah, because we've never seen that before, Team Canada.
Yeah. But still, you got to realize, there's nothing new under the sun. Sure, it's going to be a recycled storyline done someplace else by other people. Still, done correctly, it can still be entertaining.
Not only that, but you've got two guys who could easily put on a good match. When it was TNA's Team Canada, it was, oh, look, join Team Canada. Oh, look, I have a shirt. Swerve, 3D, end of story.
Mm-hmm.
That's all yeah, there was.
When you look at it for, when you look at it in terms of Christian and Punk, their battle's not going to be so much in the ring in matches. It's going to be on the mic. And that's where Christian excels really well, is improvising on the mic.
Awesome.
And that's where your money's going to come from if they decide to go in that direction with the feud.
That's the one thing that Christian has. He right now, SmackDown is lacking face stars that can talk on the mic. They've got Undertaker, who might not be here after WrestleMania. And that's their main top babyface for SmackDown. Christian can talk well on the mic, as well as wrestle. So that's why I think he might be able to get a push.
I think that would actually be a great idea for them to get Christian onto the brand, because right now, what's Punk doing?
Shaving people's heads?
Mm, that's about it.
Yeah, pretty much. That's more or less it. So, yeah, the death of the WWECW. Bada bing, bada boom, there you go. And we'll see what WWE NXT brings to us. Crowley, thanks for being the initial caller into the show this evening. Your insights prove you well, young Padawan.
You're welcome, and I hope that I fixed my mic because I know it's too loud.
Yeah, there you go. That's a little bit better.
You fixed it now, and now we're going to kick you off.
Just in time. Yeah, just in time to get kicked off. There you go. Thanks again, Crowley.
You know, in regards to them killing ECW, when I heard about it, my first thought was actually, I need to go buy one of those belts. The little toy ones that Mattel
was
wrapped
up with. Yeah, those won't be around very long.
Yeah.
Well, see, I went to like two Walmarts, and they were gone. There was still the spinner, still the world title, but no ECW, and we found one at Target.
Yeah, I'm going to have to plunk down $40 to buy one.
Like
we've only just got all that stuff, so we've got plenty of stock down here with it. Does that mean I need to add you to the list of people to send shit to, Will?
No, I got my own.
He's got his own. He's got his own means of getting them.
Thank you.
Well, see, I already got it, and just to go off course here real quick, I really love what they've done with the belts in the new line because they're not foam. They use a like a fake leather sort of, no, it's not really pleather, but, you know, it's a simulated type of material that makes it feel like you're really holding a belt. My only actual problem with it is that the strap on one side is so retardedly short that it's not even funny.
Well, maybe it's built for people with smaller waists than you. Like,
no,
you
know,
it's
no,
actually
I mean,
built for kids, Will.
I know it's built for kids.
That's where I wear it on your, just wear it on your shoulder and be happy.
No, yeah. I know it's built for kids, but you remember how the straps on the foam belts are at least the same length on each side? You have, on the new ones, it's one really long strap and one really tiny strap, and it just looks awkward.
Those are weird things. I went, my Kmart got in the as soon as you walk in the door, you look to your left, and there's this massive wall of all the new WWE merch, including all those new belts. Going back to the old toy section, I looked through there the other day, and they still had the old ECW belt there. So I could go to the front and get the new, or I could go to the back and get the old. It's very strange.
I go to the old one.
The old, like, original belt, or the old, shitty, shiny, silver belt?
No, the first one that WWE had for the ECW Championship.
The
ECW Championship.
That's all right. I've got a TV title sitting here that's actually done on pleather with very cheap plate. It was actually ones I used to sell at the ECW Arena. It's so hard.
But you still have it.
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you about Raw last week. Did you guys enjoy William Shatner being on Raw?
It needed more.
He was not
more.
Used enough.
Yeah.
You figure that he was maybe held back too much?
It's because he was Canadian.
I enjoy the spoken word version of the WWE Superstar themes.
Oh, gosh.
Do you know where that comes from originally?
Yeah.
Back in the, I
Rocket
believe,
Man.
Yeah, in the late 70s or the early 80s. I don't remember what the show was that he was on, but it was like some kind of variety show or something like that, and he sat
sure.
there and
canceled the next week.
Well, no, it was a special. It was a one-off thing, right? One time. Like the Grammys or something like that. But he did Elton John's Rocket Man as, you know, a spoken word poem like Dylan. And I don't mean Bob Dylan. I mean the poet Dylan. Dylan Thomas, whatever his name is. Right? And so they grabbed on that. And it's just going to be the fans that are over 33 that would have caught on to it. So
I caught on to it, and I'm 21. Screw you.
Oh, yeah. Or the ones who have seen that clip. How's that? Then they did another one where they walked, what is it, that Priceline?
Priceline negotiator.
The match negotiator. Yeah,
as usual, I have to count on The Miz not to disappoint me, and he brought up P.J. Hooker, which just made me chuckle so much.
Yeah. Well, I have to say that I agree with you guys that he could have been used more.
And that freeze frame at the end of the match negotiator thing just went on a touch too long.
It was amusing, though.
Yeah, he's just staying there going, freeze frame, freeze frame. And they're
well,
all going, what?
Until March 1st, get Cheech and Chong guest hosting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's going to be horrid.
Okay, we should start
to be horrid.
We should start a Vegas line right now. Odds on letting Cheech and Chong actually appear live. Or have all of their segments pre-taped like they did with ZZ Top.
Oh, they'll be pre-taped and they'll be shit.
It won't, yeah, because even if you like Cheech and Chong, you're not going to get what you came for with Cheech and Chong. They won't do it on kid-friendly WWE TV.
Yeah, no, that's true. But
be another Snoop Dogg with candles and incense.
Yeah, that was retarded.
We need RVD back just for that night.
that would be the
Jersey
reason.
Jersey Girl in the chat room's got a good point. They need Cheech and Chong live with CM Punk.
Yeah. That well, here you go. Bring back RVD and put CM Punk on Raw. Have all of have them all on Raw.
RVD and CM Punk would tear the house down.
And they wouldn't have to wrestle.
Oh, that, yeah.
Just give them each a mic and say, do something, but don't swear. See where they go with it.
The first words out of the mouth would be, fuck!
Oops. Yeah, there you go. And then we're back.
Tries to shave RVD. RVD kicks him over his own shoulder. It'll be great.
Oh, my God. We got
Isn't Cheech already bald? You can't make him join the society.
Well, he's kind of, no, he's half bald. I mean, he's still got a wisp or two of hair on the top of his head, but, the sides of his head is all, ringed really thickly with a bunch of hair. So, but it looks like we got a lot of people wanting to call us. Just to remind everybody, the toll-free number, 888-357-9876, option 1. Or Skype to Skype, just look for Sir Rockin'. That being said, guys, sources have confirmed that WWE and the USA Network at least have been seriously considering having Raw air for 3 hours every Monday night if TNA does move to Monday. Now, WWE didn't really like the idea last year when USA pushed for three-hour shows, but now they're thinking about it. WWE... Raw going live 3 hours every Monday. Good or bad?
Holy shit, I feel like I'm back in 1998. I'm back in high school just growing some fur on my face. Ah, get me out of here.
Okay. Will, what do you think?
Truth be told, and everyone will probably cringe in pain at this thought, I'd rather see 3 hours of TNA. WWE uses their talent well. They've got just the right amount of guys doing the right amount of things on their shows. Some nights it's worse than others, but usually they've got a good blend of segments and actual wrestling. if they go 3 hours, what are they going to do when they use up most of their talent in the first hour and a half? And they're going, oh, well, shit, what do we do now? At least with TNA...
What the hell is with Cena?
Yeah. At least with TNA, they have way too many stars that need to be showcased more often. There should be no reason why Samoa Joe should not be on an episode of Impact.
Very salient point. Do you think TNA might benefit with a second show coming along?
I didn't hear you over the Aussie.
Oh, sorry about that. I'll re-ask the question. Do you think TNA would benefit with a second hour-long program?
Possibly.
What do you think about
this? TNA adding an extra hour program somewhere? Yeah, I could see it happening.
Okay, well, you were going to make a point. Sorry about
too, because they'd actually be able to take the guys that don't get showcased on Impact now have somewhere to be.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, really, paychecks for all. I was going to say, if TNA did move to Mondays, that hour show would be perfect for the old Impact slot.
Yeah. Okay, well, Omega, I want to know what you think about the possibility of Raw going 3 hour.
Well, here is where I will actually support this idea with reservations, because Will's right. WWE right now, there are way too many matches that I've seen way too often. They barely have enough talent to handle a 2 hour show and still create variety week after week. If they go to 3 hours, it's just going to get way too repetitive. You're going to see a lot of skits that are drawn out way too long just because they're desperate to fill time without repeating themselves. But once upon a time, they thought up of something called the brand split because they didn't have enough time on a 2 hour show to promote all the stars they had on their roster. If they were to go 3 hours with just the Raw brand, it would fail horribly because they don't have enough people. But if the brand split were to end, a 3 hour Raw would be enough time to showcase everybody on their roster. They'd have a much stronger show with all their big stars, and they would have no problem getting everybody their fair turn. I will support this if only because it will make them desperate enough to finally end the damn brand split.
Well, how many people out there watching WWE programming enjoy this brand split?
Me.
Are you serious?
I do.
You like the brand split?
I've liked it for a while. I like that we don't see the same guys on every episode of every show. I mean, really, do I really want to see Cena 3 times a week? No, I don't. Even before we got a guy like Cena, though, it was nice having... It was a good way to get younger guys into a spot that they needed because the card wasn't taken up by all the main eventers being on one show, and then they're on the other show as well. You got to split your main eventers to 2 shows and give everyone a chance to do something.
Okay. But don't you think that WWE might feel obligated or forced to end the brand split if they do move to 3 hours on Monday nights?
It depends on what they want to do with SmackDown and ECW. They're moving, well, NXT. If they're moving to NXT instead of ECW and then they go to 3 hour Raw and they kill the brand split, that would be a whole bunch of advertising and merchandising and younger guys and a potential lawsuit with some indie fed in Scotland all down the drain just so we can see Randy Orton, Undertaker, Triple H, and John Cena 3 times a week.
Well, I didn't mind seeing all the big names more than once a week before this brand split happened.
Here's the other side of the coin. Here's the other option here. I think that's even correct. But there's another side of this. As you look at storyline, ever since we had all of these extra pay-per-views, and they've started, some months have 2 different pay-per-views, and you've only got 3 weeks in between events, so many storylines get rushed. There's nothing to them. And, you know, it's just like, oh, I don't like you. I don't like you either. Well, let's punch each other for a few weeks. Just,
well, that's what used to happen in the 70s and the 80s, Omega.
Yeah, but audience
but those
gets
more guys were fun to watch.
The audience gets more sophisticated, though. You know, 70s and 80s is when you could have characters that came straight out of a comic book and nobody cared. And they don't do that anymore.
Man,
God, you people watching wrestling, smarten the fuck up and get dumb again. God damn it.
Absolutely. But when they had Raw and SmackDown, they had the same talent on both shows, and they were showed twice as much every week, they had more time to flesh out a storyline and still keep it at a nice pace. And because they appeared so often, there was a pressure to come up with a compelling storyline that would not get old. It's probably another reason for the brand split is because, well, they felt like being lazy with the writing. It's a lot easier to write for three shows than it is for six.
Well,
we might actually get better storylines if the brands do have to merge because 3 hours of Raw needs more talent to fill it.
Well, not just that, but if you look on the good side, people who like wrestling and not just, you know, the storylines and shit like that, maybe that 5 minute match that we see gets, you know, actually gets 10 minutes.
Oh yeah, that's
on the other side though, the storylines could become even more stale and even more dull. It just would depend on which way Vince would want to go with the writing.
Well,
the idea is that there is more pressure on the writers to create something that will not get stale. That's the same reason why competition is good, because it adds pressure. You have to do something to create something good.
Yeah, but when you've got when you're the company that owns the Monday night show, when you're the company that owns the Friday night show that's taped on Tuesdays, that's not competition. Anybody who says, "Oh, I'm not going to watch Raw because SmackDown's a better show," you know, that anybody who says that is definitely in the minority. Seriously, really, you know, tell the brand split. Give the one show 3 hours. You can have matches that are a little bit longer, a little bit better. You can go into more detail with all of the storylines without worrying about having to increase the number of angles and storylines and shit going on. And you could actually pay more attention to what you're doing now, get people, you know, suck them in a little bit more. You know, you've got, you know, 50 people on this one roster, and you got to think of 25 different things to do. Or 20 different things to do because you're getting certain people involved in multiple character storylines. Well, you can take this, all of the stuff going on, and then you can make it more in depth. Yeah, it would take a little bit more work at the writing table, and a couple of more thoughts from creative, but not a hell of a lot. And you can definitely deliver a lot more entertaining product than you get it week in and week out. You know, like, before this brand split, it was a case of you had entertaining programming that you could carry over because it helped drive ratings to the second show, for one. And you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Like, if if the Ministry of Darkness captures Stephanie McMahon on Raw, you go to watch SmackDown to see what the hell they were going to do with her.
Exactly, because you know that Ministry of Darkness is going to show up on SmackDown, so you've got to tune in. So there you go. You've got one benefit right there. You're driving ratings to your other, you know, quote-unquote, other product, right? And the majority of the shows, let's face it, the majority of the shows before the brand split were good with a few misses. And after this brand split, we've had more misses than we've had hits. Am I wrong? Correct me.
No, I wouldn't disagree, but I guess we differ in the way we look at it. You guys are looking at it for the storylines. I'm looking at it in that we've been able to see the emergence of some of the younger stars. Like, without ECW, we wouldn't get to see, you know, a guy like Zack Ryder or a guy like Yoshitatsu. Even they'd be like on the opening match of every show, and then you wouldn't see them again. They might get on SmackDown if they're popular enough, but that would be it. Or we wouldn't have seen a guy like CM Punk hit his stride in ECW and able to carry that over to Raw and then SmackDown, where he's actually become the first real success story from the ECW brand.
Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have gotten Sheamus either.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But, you know, it's gonna be, well, you're saying, oh, I'm focusing on angles and storylines. No, I'm looking at the entire product, right? Yeah, you get better wrestling matches because a match that we're only getting 5 minutes of on regular TV, we can now watch 10 minutes, and it needs 10 minutes, but it only gets 5 minutes right now. Get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. It just, I look at it more for the wrestling while you look at it overall, like you said. Because really, I'm not at all concerned with storylines. That's why I like ECW a lot, is because there's not a lot of retarded storylines and a lot more wrestling.
Yeah, well, it's a lot like the argument that Spug and I have all the time. You know, the selling the steak or selling the sizzle, and, you know, breaking down the analogy, the Canadian fan wants the steak where the American fan is sold on the sizzle.
I guess I'm kind of Canadian then.
Yeah.
Spug's not here.
Seriously, if you can get your hands on any Canadian indie-fed product to watch, I strongly suggest you do it. But on that note, why don't we take our first break for the evening, come back, talk about Bubba the Love Sponge.
Oh, joy. That's something to look forward to.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. He got into it last week over the weekend with the Honky Tonk Man, Wayne.
The Honky Donkey Man?
We're going to be talking about that, I'll tell you what. Yeah. So, hey, everybody, listen to WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Wrestle Talk Radio. We're going to be taking our first time out of the evening. We'll be back right after this short little word from our sponsors. Now I'm standing here. You tell yourself you know what to do when you realize that I am coming to you. Like a child.
Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every single Wednesday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Fire on Ice, a brand new webcast based around the NHL's Calgary Flames. You set the topic, and you lead the discussion.
What a stop by Kiprasov! Rebound! Oh! An even better play! They score! Justin Boyd!
Jump into the play and you get to choose who winds up in the dumbass club. Fire on Ice, the weekly show about the hottest team playing the coolest game on earth.
Run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro? Check out VOLiners.com.
VOLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together.
Membership is free, and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcasts. Join today.
NWA World Heavyweight Champion, and you're listening to WPR, and I've got a tip for you. Don't pet burning dogs.
This is Mace, the man who cannot cut a promo to save his life. Come check me out on Otaku Talk Live, where I geek it up with Spug and Omega. Tuesdays, 11 p.m, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now maybe the bastards have put me on the open.
Into that song, you gotta admit that was one of the best ring entrance songs ever created by F time.
My mom tells me I used to jam out to that when I was little.
Oh man, you gotta love rock and roll, baby.
Still do it now.
I'm a honky tonk man. I'm cool. I'm but yeah, honky tonk man. Well, he kind of sort of got blown up in the water, didn't he? This past week, you guys hear about this?
Nope.
Yeah. Well, first off, he pretty much got, I don't know what the best word or the best phrase is. Basically got shot on really good. I mean, he was set up big time by this wrestling show on Block Talk Radio called, what's it called, The Shoot?
Never heard of it.
Yeah, you've never heard of it? The show? Yeah. Apparently, he got set up big time by these guys. At one point in time, I'm talking about there's some kind of thing going on between him and Bubba the Love Sponge and how he got set up on Bubba the Love Sponge's show.
Okay. I really need to give any heads on the Bubba the Retard.
You guys didn't hear about this or read about it anyway. Brent Hatley, executive producer of the Tampa-based Bubba the Love Sponge radio show, sent a cease and desist letter to Wayne Ferris, the Honky Tonk Man, on Wednesday, claiming that Ferris and his webmaster, Steve Wilton, had committed a federal crime by posting intellectual property from the Bubba the Love Show, from the Bubba Show, on his website, honkytonkman.net. Now, Hatley wrote that Bubble will take legal remedies available, criminal and civil, to put an end to your illegal contact. Now, Wilton has now removed the offending materials, which was a photo of Hulk Hogan wearing a Bubba t-shirt, 60-second audio bite, where Bubba Hogan and Eric Bischoff basically make fun of Honky Tonk Man, and, which wasn't too happy about, of course, but said something about he worked everybody and said he didn't really have a deal with TNA or Jack Specific for an action figure or TNA Legends or whatever or anything like that. But he was on talking on the shoot, and the guy that he was just railing against was actually on the other like he was on the line on mute or something like that.
and literally confronted the Honky Tonk Man right after a Honky Tonk Man went off on this guy. It's a 15-minute long thing. You can find it on Blog Talk Radio. And all I can say is when you get the chance after this show is over or anytime in the next few days, take a listen to it.
I may have to now.
It's really interesting. I'll tell you that much.
Okay, so let me see if I've got this straight. We've got Bubba the Love Sponge, who is yet again running his mouth, banging out people and situations. The Honky Tonk Man retaliates by playing the clip and going off about people having a go at him. And now Bubba the Love Sponge is deciding to sue the Honky Tonk Man for having a go at them.
Yeah, you know, if TNA were smart, they would say...
Is this correct? Yes?
That's pretty much one of the head button things here. But what I was going to say is TNA were smart. They'd say to Honky Tonk Man, tell you what, we're going to give you a shitload of money. Come on in and get into the ring, score off with Bubba the Love Sponge, and they could take care of two problems in one shot this way.
We'd get to see Bubba the Love Sponge get
man,
killed.
Just get Bubba against Awesome Kong like we want.
Well, no, I was going to say name Awesome Kong special guest referee, seeing as they denied her release from TNA.
Hmm.
And have her turn into a double squash. Because you know, Awesome Kong, you cannot mistake her for a Knockout or a Diva. She'd kill both those guys. And that is something, I swear to God, that is something I think I could pay to see.
To see a 300-pound black woman beat the hell out of Bubba Love Sponge, sure.
We're all down.
And Honky Tonk.
Yeah. Man. We'll throw in money.
So there you go. There's some booking for you, TNA. speaking about TNA, you heard about the latest ratings from their from the show Thursday night.
No, didn't pay. I don't pay attention to ratings the way I probably should, considering I do one of these shows.
Yeah,
I've not gotten to watch it. I watched like up until the McFoley promo, and then I had to go do, I don't know, more entertaining stuff.
Well, I'll tell you, I was disappointed with the show on Thursday. Overall, I was, you know, fairly entertained. It wasn't anything special. But to not have, or to have the main event that they had with, you know, the old guys coming out, Pac and, what's his name, Scott Hall, the WTR Will of TNA, if you will. If you think so. Sorry, Will. But, yeah, I think that they shouldn't have ended it the way they ended it. Their ratings were down last week. What did they hit, a 1.4?
Yeah.
This week came in at a somewhat underwhelming 1.2. Now, that's still 2 points higher, 2 to 3 points higher than they got before Hulk Hogan came onto the scene. But it's you know, it's down a full 2 points from their Thursday night record. Now, is it a case of people have already seen what they consider the train wreck and they've moved on down the highway? Now, that's not me taking a shot at TNA, by the way. I just want to clarify that. It's just an analogy. But do you think TNA ratings are going to hold around 1.2, 1.3, or will they drop back down to 0.9 to 1.0?
I hope they drop down so they can go, huh, we're doing something wrong.
Yeah, hope they do, but I think I think the Monday night show did enough to ensure that the ratings probably aren't going to drop that low unless they do something horrifically wrong, which is probably a matter of time.
The Nasty Boys out every week.
That might do it.
Yeah, Nasty Boys don't belong on TV in 2010, in my opinion.
Oh, wow. No one actually recapped TNA at all on the site I normally go to read the recaps. That's awesome.
Nobody
It's not recapped. There's no 10 thoughts about it. It's just the last one was on the 28th.
Well, the you know, as far as TNA goes, the one thing I can say is they haven't caused me to tune them out. What they're doing, they haven't caused me to tune them out. The show was kind of solid on Thursday. They admittedly have done better shows where fewer people have seen it, but they've also done worse shows where the same amount of people almost have seen it.
Yeah.
They're pretty much they're not taking any risks at the moment. They're playing kind of safe.
Really? Turning AJ heel with a gimmick that is totally not him isn't taking a risk?
Here it is. That's the risk that they took. I'm talking about Thursday's program specifically. Thursday's program was fairly, call it middle of the road if you want, I think. They're still setting up storylines. They're still moving along with things. And if you guys haven't given them a chance yet, all I can tell you is give them a chance. Just see where all of these storylines unfold, because I have a sense that they are actually going someplace. And you get guys who are into old school, not going to name any names here, but certain people have bitched and complained that wrestling has no longevity to their storylines for the big payoff. I'm getting the feeling, I'm getting the sense that that is exactly what Hogan and Bischoff and company are working towards. All right, the longer storyline with a with that big payoff at the end instead of a month and a half thing. You know what I'm saying?
The way I keep seeing it with their storylines is just going for one shock after another, no matter how much sense it makes. I mean, it's one thing. Okay, you go from AJ heel and oh my god, Ric Flair's a manager, and now this week going to oh my god, the old NWO that we can't legally call the NWO just turned on Nash for no reason whatsoever. It just seems like they're going from one shock moment to one shock moment after another, and it doesn't have any kind of longevity, and I don't see any kind of master plan that's all going to make it come together and make sense of it all. It just seems like they're going for desperate actions.
I don't know. I can understand what you're saying, but it doesn't give me the sense of desperation. Right? It's giving me the sense of something they've got planned out long-term, and it's not something that's being hot-shotted. I mean, you saw them in two segments on Thursday, and they came out at the end of the show, and they beat down their good buddy Kevin Nash. Well, why would they do that? They've been the clique for God knows how long, and they turn on Nash. Why? Okay, I want to find out why.
With Eric Young?
Yeah. But personally,
and I've been waiting a while to say this, to me, TNA is a train wreck. Probably getting close to the point of a national disaster style event. And like any event of that grander scale that's doing that much, you can't help but watch. I really lowered my expectations as a TNA fan, and these days I'm just waiting to see how bad it can get. But the thing is, they've still got me tuning in. Well, I recorded anyway. Just so I can fast forward the King Kennedy matches.
There was no Desmond Wolfe on this show? What a fucking terrible show.
There you go. Yeah, see, you know, everybody's got an opinion on wrestling, and everybody...
Please don't continue that line if you're going to make the asshole joke.
No, I wasn't going to. I was going to say everybody's entitled to be wrong.
Say that every week, and I just want to shoot myself.
Everybody's got an opinion, and everybody's entitled to be as wrong as everybody else. So, and meanwhile, I'm getting shot on for my Canadian accent with my pronunciations of things, and I know for a fact Mav gets a kick out of me saying anomaly. You know, I say anomaly, you say whatever, and you can say anomaly, and I'll say fuck off.
Aluminium.
you say potato, I say screw you, whatever.
We were going on earlier about taking bets. Maybe we should try and start up some sort of betting system to see who's going to leave the company first. Because at the moment, I'm thinking Raven's going to be sitting somewhere in the top five for leaving.
Yeah, where the hell has Raven and Stevie been?
Well, Eric Bischoff came in, so obviously they've been FedExed.
God damn it. Ever since seriously, ever since Hogan and Bischoff came onto the scene, we have seen a lot less wrestlers that we enjoy and would normally see every week.
We've seen a lot less wrestlers, period.
That too.
We've seen old farts and overrated microphone hacks.
And in the meantime, my computer's freezing up. Continue, guys, while I try to get this fixed.
Well, it's like I was saying earlier about TNA. They need a 3-hour show or something because I am so tired of... Like I said, there are just guys that need to be on the show every week. Desmond Wolf, Joe, whoever the Legends Global Champion is now. Those are guys...
Eric Young.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. That belt technically held by, I think it was one of the British Invasion.
Rob Terry now.
Yeah, Rob Terry, yeah, on TV they're portraying it as Eric Young. Okay, so we're going back to the old WCW stylings of, yay, there's a big title change, but we're never going to actually acknowledge it on TV.
Yeah, basically, because I was kind of interested in, oh, will we see Rob Terry actually carry a belt, considering he gave away his X Division title a shot, and no.
It just seems like TNA is very fond of dropping storylines in the middle of nothing. I mean, Stevie and Raven team up. There's Daphne. Okay, and they're, where the hell did they go? Then turn around. Okay, Desmond Wolf puts on two Match of the Year candidates in his first two pay-per-view matches with the company, and then he gets shoved down into obscurity. He might be in this, this stupid 8-man tournament that they've got going on for the next pay-per-view, but... Will was right. You need to see him more often. He needs to be one of the guys that you showcase because he got over fast, and he needs to stay over, or he's just going to be another mid-carder that went through TNA and got absolutely nothing out of it.
But that's the thing. You know, he's a guy that has all this talent. He's over as hell, and he's in this tournament, but shit, we know this tournament's designed to get Ken fucking Anderson over.
That doesn't mean we can't enjoy watching Desmond Wolf take someone's head off with a jawbreaker lariat.
Oh, I agree. Unless the main of the finish of that tournament's going to be Desmond Wolf versus Ken Anderson, you know, then where's the payoff, really? Because putting those two guys together and just watching Anderson getting the living shit kicked out of him, I know I'm going to be happy as fuck.
There you go. I take it not that big a Ken Anderson fan, are you, Mace?
I hate the fucking retard.
Anderson is Mace's Cena.
Anderson is Mace's Cena. That's a, okay, yeah. Mace's version of your Cena, Will.
Yeah.
My Cena? Like, there's a specific Cena? Really?
Yeah. There's
another Cena?
There's a thugonomic Cena, and there's a Marine Cena, and then there's a poor, shitty actor Cena.
No. They're all wrapped in one. There's the Cena that you can't stand for certain reasons, even though when he first bust on the scene, you were, like, busting a move right with him. Sort of go to 1992. But there's the hardcore internet wrestling community fans' hate for Cena, and then there's the casual wrestling fans' jizzing for Cena. That's the two different Cenas I'm talking about, okay?
And now, then there's Will's absolute loathing of Cena.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Now, the one thing we have to understand here, doing this internet webcasting, okay, none of us books a wrestling show. Mace, currently, you're the only one on air right now who actually does wrestle.
If his companies would stay afloat.
You know.
Yeah, more on that later.
More on that later, yeah. But, right? Okay, we have definite opinions. We have to realize that everything we say that they're doing wrong is our opinion. We're all in the minority, okay? We're in the minority because the hardcore internet wrestling fan does not drive the company's profits.
No, we just drive the kids to the shows and buy the merchandise for the kids.
1,000 children boo Sheamus, and I'm just, yes.
Well, you come up with the money. And I will make that happen. How's that sound, Will?
I gotta come up with money just to live every week.
Well, there you go. It's not quite that easy.
And look, I know that we don't drive with our bitching what they do. It's just fun to be able to complain. I really don't ever expect them to change anything based on my anger. But you know what? I just want to bitch.
It's nice to vent. I agree with you fully. I mean, I see things on wrestling TV, you know, watching wrestling on TV that I personally think is dumb as hell. But it sells. That's the thing about it, right? Now, we're too smart for our own good, or the rest of the people really are as stupid as we accuse the WWE of thinking they really are.
And it sucks, too, because sometimes Cena actually cuts a good promo, and it's like, I want to like you. Why do they book you so bad? Like the Punch-Out promo he did with Tyson? Awesome.
Yeah. So, you guys, start with Omega here. What is your thought and your opinion of what has happened with TNA since Hogan's shown up on the scene?
It almost feels like, okay, now I've got a cat shitting in my yard instead of a dog shitting in my yard. It's shit, it's just coming from a different source.
Okay.
They've still got the same problems going on. They drop storylines out of nowhere, they go for cheap shock moments no matter how little sense it makes, and a lot of things they do just have absolutely no conclusion or end game to them. I mean, I've seen so much from TNA that's just, well, we'll do it now, and then when we get tired of it, whatever. Let's just fucking do it.
Okay. Will, you tell me about what's going on with TNA since Hogan came in your opinion.
I think it's actually worse than what we were getting before Hogan.
I
honestly do. They may be getting the better ratings, but that doesn't mean they have a better show. Just every week I've watched since Hogan came on, the January 4th, it was great. We all sat there marking like we were 12. Fun.
Yeah.
The next week, we sat there going, what just happened? The week after that, we went, oh dear God. And then the week after that, we're like, oh, TNA's dead. That's basically the way it went. At least before Hogan came along, we were all kind of speaking positively about TNA. So myself, I was going, hey, look, they actually seem to be pushing the right guys. The matches are getting better. They're slowly cutting down the amount of angles. Like, there was a point where me and Rock were counting how many matches were on a TNA show compared to how much time of promos there was. And I think one week it was like 25 minutes of wrestling total compared to the other hour and a half was nothing but promos.
Okay.
And, you know, it was getting better. We were all watching Beer Money, who are guys we've not seen like the last... We've not seen them since what? The last pay-per-view, Genesis?
Uh-huh.
You know, we were seeing guys like Beer Money get their shot. We were seeing Desmond Wolfe put on freaking match of the year every pay-per-view he was on. We were seeing Joe go somewhere. We were seeing Daniels get a push. We were seeing AJ getting a title run that wasn't going to be retarded until Hogan came along. We were seeing Angle and AJ putting on good matches, and it was looking positive.
Okay.
You know, the guys we wanted to see were on the show. They were at least kept strong. Hogan and Bischoff came along, and there have been a handful of good moments, like the Generation Me versus Motor City Machine Guns match. That was awesome. Caught me by surprise. I wanted to see more.
Okay.
Haven't seen. It's almost like one disappointment after the other, and I want it to improve. I really do. But I just look at it, and it's like, oh man, it's WCW.
Okay, Mace, it's your turn.
The WCW nostalgia trip on acid aside, I've been seeing it sort of as a car wreck. But like any good car wreck, when you're driving past, you're always going to stop and have a look. And that's exactly what TNA are wanting. They're wanting you to stop and look, and they've done that, so I congratulate them on that point. I just wish that they would actually get back to focusing on the guys that were in TNA to begin with, not all these guys that they've been bringing in and pushing to the moon like idiots.
Okay. Now, here's my take on it. Hogan shows up, makes the deal with TNA, comes into the company, immediately things change. What happens? Things are shaken up. All of a sudden, the wrestling fans are going, what the fuck's going on over here? We better check it out. Monday, January 4th, live, they hit a ratings record. It wasn't the 3 Hogan promised it was going to be, but it was the highest rating they have had in the history of TNA. What happened?
Even at 2.
What happened at the first Thursday original program after that? Wow, they set a Thursday record, which was the 3rd highest. And then after that, they get another record, which is the 2nd highest. Yeah, last Thursday night, for whatever reason, it dropped 2 points. However, the point of the fact is, and I know somebody's going to back me up on this, when you keep doing the same goddamn thing, expecting different results, people are going to think you're insane. If you're not getting different results, do something different. TNA has been doing something different. They got rid of the 6-sided ring. I'm a wrestling purist. I like the 4-sided ring, but we'll talk about the 6-sided ring a little bit more in just a sec because I've got a rumor that I heard that I want to bring it up. TNA is shaking things up. They're not doing the same damn things. Hogan coming in has done them nothing but good, and we can't judge over how many 3 original shows now, including the live show. Well, 4, including the live show. We can't judge just yet. Exactly. But we can say that, at least to this point, TNA has benefited. They're doing something right. And once again, you have to please the masses to get the masses coming in. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to you a guy that 99.8563% of you, approximately, are familiar with, who is now on the line with us. We're talking about the dog himself, Trey Dog from Wrestling News Live. Trey, thank you for calling in. How are you, brother?
What's up, fellas? Is this microphone working at all, or am I muted like last week?
Well, you sound like you're in a tunnel, but we can hear you.
Well, I'm having problems with this new computer, and I'm still waiting to get mine back. I don't know what I did to it, but boy, I fucked her up good somehow. I don't know how, but I did. And,
well, that'll teach you. Don't offer your laptop beer.
Well, actually, I think it was Windex where I tried to clean off the screen, because that's the only thing I did before I took a nap, and then I woke up and nothing was working, so I don't know.
Okay, there you go.
Let me see if I can mess with my microphone here and see if I can make it work a little better here.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to say to Crowley in the chat room, that is not even close to funny, what he posted.
All right, how's that sound?
About the same. But it's okay. We can still hear you clearly enough. It just sounds like you're in a bit of a tunnel.
All right. Well, I just wanted to call in and say, you guys are all dogging on TNA and the shit that they're doing. Step back for just a second and answer this question. You compare it to the WWE and the fact that TNA is doing all these promos and they're doing all these backstage segments. And they're doing very little in-ring stuff. And I'll give you that, but I want you to think before you say that. How many days a week do we not have WWE programming? One. How many days a week do we have TNA programming? One. So in order to get people to buy their pay-per-view, they have to cram everything into a small, small area. Is it right? No. But that's what they have to do. Just putting 2 guys out in the ring and having a match and then watching them walk back up the ramp as the commentators go, that was a great match. Next, we've got these 2 guys, and watch them walk to the ring and get in the ring and have a match. Oh, that was a great match. Now we've got these 2 guys. If it was nothing but matches and matches and matches, there'd be no reason to tune in because there'd be no storyline. Yeah, you tell stories in the ring, but that's built off of what you've done with your promo and your backstage work. They've got 1 2-hour show that they've got to sell you on to get you to want to watch the next week. And not only that, spend your money on a pay-per-view where 90% of the wrestling world doesn't buy pay-per-views. They watch them online and bitch like they forgot to vote. It's not like they're ruining your pocketbook, and if you don't like it, don't fucking watch. Nobody's putting a gun to your head and saying, as a wrestling fan, you have to like this, and this has to be as good as a company that's got $1 billion behind it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be. Rome was not built today, and Dixie has finally, I think after 7 years, said, you know what? We're going nowhere but in the same spot running in place. It's time to either turn it over to some people that have had success or watch it go down in flames, but I'll be damned if I sit here and jog in place for another 7 years.
Yeah. Well, what? Go ahead, sorry.
See, you're assuming, I'm just saying, I don't want to see any promos or nothing. I'm not saying that. But 25 minutes of wrestling on a two-hour show, the matches being anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes, is still pretty bad. The promos need to be there.
Raw having a complete first hour with only one match and a diva match that lasted about 2 seconds?
I'm not saying that's good either. No, that's not good either. I'm not defending the WWE doing it.
Nobody brought up the failure of the WWE when they did it, but when TNA does it, we all got to make sure we jump on it.
Well, Trey, what do you think about what I said earlier about TNA maybe going after Spike to get a second show an hour long?
They're talking with Spike, and it's in the works. Spike wants more from TNA than TNA is willing to give right now, because if you're Dixie or Jeff or somebody with some clout in this company, you have built your roster on the fact that basically anybody can come here, work 2 or 3 days, get a paycheck, and not be on the road and not do all the shit that the WWE does. That has been the TNA golden point, which is the main reason why guys like, I can't believe RVD hasn't gone there, because he talks about his busy life. Well, shit, that's 3 days out of your month.
Yep.
You know? The problem they're going to run into is Spike wants so much more out of them than they're willing to give right now, and that's their own damn fault. If they want to compete, then they're going to have to buck up and get on the ball and compete. I don't think the Monday move is a great idea yet, but looking back at it, that's when they've had their most success.
It has only been one show so far that they have put on Monday, but yeah, it was extremely successful, and that's pretty much my point. Just letting the guys get out their frustrations on what they're seeing at the moment. At the same time, you're making absolutely perfect points. I mean, they've got 2 hours to get all of this shit in. 2 hours a week.
To me, the problems with TNA go about like this. It's not who's booking. It's not who's writing. Although those could be problems, they're not the main problems. It'd be like having a flat tire on a bike with no chain. You can get your flat tire fixed, but you're still not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
They've got to spread their programming out to multiple shows. They've got to go live. People think I'm stupid, but how many of you read spoilers? How many of you read spoilers and go, that doesn't sound interesting, it's not a major point in my life to watch that program? A lot of people.
I do everything I can to avoid spoilers. You know
I do, too. I do, too. But there's,
so do I.
There's more of them out there in the general viewing public that have found spoilers, and they read them, and then they decide if they're going to watch or not, and they make that their point of reason, whether they're going to watch the show or not.
And reading the spoilers
that kills your rating.
It doesn't give you
the kills ratings.
Yeah, reading a spoiler does not give you the flavor of the show. Okay, so somebody you don't think should win a match wins a match in the spoiler. Well, maybe there's more to it than that, and you should figure out, you know, like, okay, why did he win that match? Let's go check this out. Instead of, oh, he won that match, fuck it, I'm not watching.
You know, it's just like, if you look at TNA as a whole, let's go from the top to the bottom real quick. Their major problems are this. There's not enough programming. They have 2 hours a week to cram everything into.
Yep.
All right? That's like saying, let's have the Super Bowl, but only play one quarter. How different of a game was the Super Bowl after the first quarter tonight?
Oh, geez.
A completely different game.
Yeah, it was two different games totally.
You know, but had we quit after the one quarter, you know, we wouldn't have gotten as good a show as we got. Same thing works for wrestling. They've got Raw, they've got SmackDown, they've got Superstars, ECW, and NXT now. And on every one of those shows, they're reminding you of the main points of interest from all the others. So it's always on your mind who's doing what and what's going on.
Yeah.
But their number one thing is they have to go live to get rid of these spoilers. Why they have not done this and why, you know, it's so out there that people read the spoilers and don't watch, that's like saying, why host the show this week? Because I've already told everybody through text what we're going to talk about, and none of it's interesting to anybody. Well, it would only take a couple tries of that before I go, hey, you stupid motherfucker, quit telling people what you're going to talk about.
Yeah. Well, you know? What I would like to see is eventually, Mace, am I talking over you? I'm sorry, go ahead.
But you're going on about the spoilers and everything, Trey. Look at SmackDown. They get the spoilers out every, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning after it's happened, and it doesn't seem to hurt their ratings that much.
Oh, really? How are their ratings compared to that of Raw?
To be fair, have we ever seen Thursday SmackDown ratings in their life?
You know, I mean, comparing SmackDown to Raw on a creative scale is one thing. Comparing it on a superstar scale is another. But ratings-wise, that's like apples and oranges.
Well, you know, it's been my contention ever since they started taping every single damn episode, SmackDown would have higher ratings. Doesn't matter what network they're on, they'd have higher ratings if they went live. What I would like to see, the point I was making, what I would like to see is everybody knows that the plans are to put TNA on Mondays. The rumor is starting at the beginning of March. Whether that's going to happen or not, we'll have to wait and see. But they're going to show one live episode, and then the next week will be a taped episode, and then they'll go back live and taped again. Before they do that, whether the rumor is true or not, before they do that, they should go live on Thursdays. And I'll guarantee you, they'll start getting 1.6s, 1.7s. Next thing you know, they're breaking 2 on Thursdays.
I guarantee you, if they were live, it would make a world of difference in their ratings. Because then people wouldn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, if Vince McMahon was as smart as I think he is, the first thing he should do with this NXT is move that motherfucker to Thursday nights and put it in the Impact time slot. That's the first thing I would do.
Which is what he...
You want to come over here and let your dog shit in my yard? Okay, well, I'm going to let my dog come over and shit in your yard.
It's pretty much what he did when he came up with SmackDown versus Thunder.
Exactly.
And what happened to... what did WCW do? They said, oh, fuck, we're in trouble now. They moved Thunder from Thursdays to Wednesdays.
But everybody's... the reason I call is that everybody's in such a hurry to dog on TNA. In a sense, Hogan's been there, 3 weeks?
More or less.
Last week he was on TV twice. 3 times tops. And it was going to a break or coming back from a break. He didn't even come to the ring. You know? And the TNA haters are, oh my God, Hulk Hogan's on TV. It's the Hulk Hogan show. Shut up! Then people want Vince to complain about how, you know, certain people aren't getting their push and the old guys are getting... All they're doing is setting something up that they haven't even completely been able to put into place yet.
Yeah.
It's like a coach coaching a bowl game with somebody else's players.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much what I've been saying throughout the evening. They're doing something, and it's not one of those quick storylines. Let it develop. Give it a chance. It's only been, how many shows? 3 shows since the live show?
Yeah.
Things are going to take place. Speaking of which, just before we go to our next break of the evening, you heard about Hulk Hogan calling into RVD Radio to officially ask RVD to join TNA?
No, I hadn't heard that he'd done that officially.
I didn't hear that one.
I heard that. I heard that RVD has talked to them about it.
Yeah, well, Hulk Hogan actually called in to RVD Radio last week. When is it on? It's on Wednesdays, I think. Wednesday night.
That's a stupid move. Oh. That's not something you talk about on the air.
Yeah. Whether or not RVD accepts, I guess time will tell. But on that note, we should take our second break of the evening here. RVD Radio Wednesdays at 10 p.m. You can hear it on Audio Wrestling, as well as I think he's on Blog Talk Radio.
But go to Audio Wrestling to hear it if you will.
But you want to go to www.audiowrestling.com to check out RVD Radio, as well as all the other great wrestling programs that they have on Audio Wrestling. By the way, Trey, I didn't get a chance to tell you before now, listening to the Wrestling Radio Awards, hell of a bang-up job hosting them things, man.
Thank you. It was fun. I enjoyed doing that.
You did. You did good. You got a good response from the audience. You had a couple of laughs, anyway.
We'll tell you this much now. I plan on receiving next year and not handing them out.
There you go. Just a little bit of a subtle hint for all of you people listening. Just stay tuned to the internet. Wrestling News Live is returning very soon, and I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised with everything that's going on with the Trey Dog and Wrestling News Live. Check out www.wrestlingnewslive.tk. Your forums are up now, Trey. People can join and start posting.
That's right. And don't forget, we got a big announcement next week. If you want more information on what the announcement is and where you can go to listen to it and all that jazz, trust me, it'll be worth your while. Go to the website, www.wrestlingnewslive.tk, and I'll be here again next week, too, I'm sure.
There you go. Yeah, everybody, we're inviting Trey back for the show next week and have a lot more fun. Coming up on the other side of our second time out of the evening, we've got the great debate. Hey, we got Steve Austin going up against Bret the Hitman Hart, and Triple H takes on Hulk Hogan, the greatest Royal Rumble winners of all time in the WCR Great Debate. You're listening to WrestleTalk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back right after this. Time out.
Voices in my head, they counsel me, they understand, they talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Otaku Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence roll.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a
slinky. Okay, you find a slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
This one. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for paint cans.
Duck.
Okay, so he's smart enough to say duck, he dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge paint cans, ducks, and any other flying object.
Okay, you also ducked the free pussy that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase with a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, well, not our, but Shaniqua's following to members, and we all start going, go, 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 go.
All right, hang on a second. Dun. Oh, the slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point,
I'm going to roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LAB Rule, Chapter 7, Subsection 15.
Oh, geez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't own this castle.
For more geekiness, tune into Otaku Talk Live, Tuesdays, 11 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey everyone, this is The Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kind of did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer. I am the host of the...
Oh my God, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday night, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock...
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone... I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Wait, that's the wrong guy. Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And we had a great bunch of debates, but right now it's time for the WTR Great Debates.
The bell has sounded for this week's Great Debate. From the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. To the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
It's Flair from behind! Oh, yes!
We are in search for the greatest Royal Rumble winner of all time. Do you disagree with what we have to say? Then interact with us live on the WTR toll-free line. Now step into the ring with us as we determine who is the greatest Royal Rumble winner of all time.
Oh, yeah, it's the Great Debate. Steve Austin taking on Bret the Hitman. We're going to start off with Hulk Hogan, the immortal Hulk Hogan, taking on the game Triple H, and we're going to start off tonight with Omega.
Oh, me, I get to start for once.
Yeah.
Which one are we starting with again?
Triple H versus Hulk Hogan.
Okay, I was ready for the other one. All right, never mind.
Stop playing with your Transformers and listen.
Shut up. This one's a little hard for me.
Okay.
I'm thinking here. I'm drawing blanks. But I was always a big fan of for Triple H, that was the year of the unification of the title belts. That was his return after the quad injury, and he's. Arguably, he was never more over than he was at that time. So for him to win it then was huge to cement his return to the WWE. Hogan. I don't know what it is about Hogan winning Rumbles, but there's Maybe it's just because, you know, it's freaking Hulk Hogan, but never quite did anything for me. I mean, yeah, he won two, and he won two in a row, and, you know, fine. Was great, but you know what? I don't know what it is. These two just never really. I'm honestly torn here. I have no idea who to pick between the two.
Really? Flip a coin.
Is that coin flipping? No.
Would you would you take a few more moments to think about it while I go to Will?
Yeah, go ahead and go to Will.
Okay, Will.
All right.
Triple H or Hulk Hogan?
Let's see. Triple H's Rumble win was his big comeback, like Omega said. He started at like 22. He wins. He goes on to WrestleMania in a terrible feud with Chris Jericho, where Chris Jericho gets buried because it was mostly about Triple H and Stephanie and the dog that got hit. Triple H becomes an undisputed champion, loses it to Hulk Hogan at Backlash, and then flounders in obscurity for, let's see, that was 2001? No, 2002. So, he rolls around into obscurity until Eric Bischoff hands him a belt and says, here, this is yours. All right. Awesome. Hulk Hogan, he starts at 25 and 24, respectively, in his Rumble wins. 1 year, he goes to... Well, this was before the winner got the title shot, right?
I think one of them was.
Oh. Well...
That's correct. The WrestleMania stipulation didn't start till 93.
Alright, so let's see, aftermath here says Hogan went, oh, that was the WrestleMania where Hogan jobbed out to the Warrior. I guess that's a good match if you like watching two men who get blown up in the first 5 minutes wrestle to make an event.
Hogan actually probably drew him to his best match, which is very easy to do, but it still wasn't as bad as his usual ones.
Yeah. Let's see, the one after that, I have nothing on because Wikipedia is failing me. Hold on. Oh, that was WrestleMania 8. What was that? That was a... I want to say...
Come on, Will.
That was Slaughter versus Hogan, wasn't it?
It was 7, but yeah, that's Hogan versus Slaughter.
Oh, 7. I can't count Roman numerals. Awesome. Well, okay. Woo, it's another Hogan win for the title. Oh, joy. I'm just going to go for Triple H because that was a more exciting Rumble win.
There you go, Triple H, 1-0. Mace!
I'm going to go with Triple H, mainly because we have to take the WrestleManias into account for some god unknown reason, and since Hogan didn't have a title shot technically via the rules of the Royal Rumble, he got it because he's Hulk Hogan and it's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And during that time it was Hulk Hogan and WrestleMania every fucking year. Something like that. It's Hogan's basically disqualified because of the he didn't get the title shot at WrestleMania, so I'm going with Triple H.
Well, there you go, 2-0 Triple H. Oh, Mick, we're back to you.
Alright, I'll probably make it 3-0, mostly because, like it's been said, since the stipulation for the title shot didn't take effect until 93, his Rumble wins really didn't amount to anything, and they weren't from spectacular numbers. You know, he wasn't in the match for very long, and he really didn't have a whole lot to do. So, it was just another match for Hulk Hogan. Whereas there's a lot more on the line and a lot more story to be had from Triple H's win, especially from his comeback, and especially because that led into the storyline where it finally ended the McMahon-Helmsley marriage on camera, which that alone made it worth it. So I'm voting Triple H.
There you go. 3-0 Triple H. Yeah, you're talking about that marriage ending on camera. There's some really great mic work between Steph and Triple H. Her talking about him being puny and him saying, well, you know, even a 747 looks small when it's flying through the Grand Canyon. You got to remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
That does something you can't forget.
I miss those promos.
Oh, yeah.
Wrestlers could improvise, yeah, good times.
Back when they were allowed to pretty much say what they wanted to say instead of having stuff script everything out. Randy, you came up with this great debate, man, and you've called in an hour ahead of time, but that's okay because we're not going to be on at 12:30 Eastern. who do you pick and why?
Yeah, that's the reason I called in now. But looking at what y'all said and pretty much the qualifications for this, I had to go Triple H because, yeah, Hogan did win it twice and was the first one to win it back-to-back, but it didn't really mean anything. Of course, with the last two who had won it before, Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Big John Studd, they did too much for them either. So, and Triple H, it helped him. He got a return. We all know what he did that year in 02. So, Triple H.
There you go, Triple H. Well, I'm making it a clean sweep. You stop and you think about it, Hulk Hogan winning the Royal Rumble. You could pretty much figure, you know, the Royal Rumble was a gimmick to help get Hogan over further. Whether that's true or not, that's just the way it feels to me. More story to Triple H winning the Royal Rumble. And that's pretty much my reasons in a nutshell.
Not only that, Hogan won both of his in Miami. Or not Miami, Florida. Seriously, fuck Florida.
No offense.
You are just really trying to get me to kill you, aren't you, Will?
Yes.
Mace, send him something so I can have his address.
Mace, I'll work on it.
What are you sending out to people, Mace?
Bombs.
Well, currently,
considering the TV shows he's sending me, that's accurate.
Yeah, Omega's getting copies of, let's see, let's grab them all here, the Street Fighter animated cartoon.
The American
Ninja,
one?
Oh. Yeah, the American one. Ninja Turtles, The Next Mutation.
Oh.
The live action one.
And
yeah.
Transformers, Headmasters.
Well, as long as you're sending things from Australia, I'd like a box of macadamias.
Tim, it takes you forever and a day to send anything out to anybody else, so why should I take any less time to send something to you? So shut up.
Yeah, so, maybe while you're on it, you can beat Tim to sending me that thing I won.
All right, who put you guys up to that goddammit? Moving on! Just like Triple H did, we've got Steve Austin taking on Bret the Hitman Hart. We're going to start with a caller tonight.
Even the chat is taking shots at you.
Yeah. No, I know. Randy, go ahead.
Great, I got to start again. All right, you have Stone Cold and you have Bret Hart. Of course, Bret Hart did it. Well, he kind of won his Rumble Cup because some big old American dude has winning Luger, and then you look at what Stone Cold did, 3 Royal Rumbles in a row, actually good Rumbles at that, and yet he, but yeah, it's Steve Austin pretty much.
Pretty much Steve Austin. Okay, Mace.
I'm going Steve Austin based on his 97 Rumble performance, which was absolutely funny as he was the first guy to get to the point where he was just ejecting guys one after another, and had enough time to sit up on the turnbuckle and have a rest in between each one.
Okay, here you go, Omega.
Well, not to take anything away from Bret Hart, because it led to some great storyline, and it was a redemption of him losing his first world championship to Yokozuna once upon a time. But I have to go with Austin. I mean, aside from having 3 Rumble wins, they weren't in a row, but 3 under his belt, and his performance in some of them, you know, especially the 97 Rumble, where he was in there for 45 minutes. And Austin always put on one of the best shows at WrestleMania you could ever buy. So I've got to vote for him.
Okay, Will.
I'm gonna go with Bret Hart.
Oh, really? Why?
Just to see if anyone would go, oh. in reality, I'm going with Stone Cold. Bret Hart couldn't even win a Royal Rumble of his own. He had to tie it with Lex Luger. That alone should make him lose. Austin, on the other hand, and look, I didn't say anything about him being Canadian. Austin, on the other hand, won 3 Rumbles. Every Rumble, he went to WrestleMania, and he won the championship. Shawn Michaels, The Rock, and The Rock again. 2 of those years were great. 1 of those years, he turned heel and went on the worst heel run I've ever seen involving the Alliance. Despite that, it's still better than anything Bret Hart did with a Rumble win.
Okay, well, my vote goes to Bret Hart.
Of course.
Only because you guys are dinks and you don't like Canadians. And
I said nothing about him being Canadian.
And that and the fact that Spug's not here tonight.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I'm going to, because it's a losing cause, and he's got to have at least 1 vote, I'm going for Bret Hart. Whether he deserves it or not, I'm gonna pull the patriotism.
Because he's bloody Canadian.
No, just for this one time, you guys keep accusing me of it, I'm actually doing it this time.
Well, so that works, then.
So there it is. Steve Austin moves on. So does Triple H in the great debate right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's called WTR Sunday Night, also known as Russ Talk Radio. Guys, what do you want to do? Do you want to do some quick hits and call it a night, or do you want to take a quick look at some wrestling news?
Have we got news?
A couple of things we haven't talked about yet.
Oh, Mr. Producers over in the chat going, break.
Yeah. I was going to say, whatever you guys decide we're going to do, we're going to do it on the other side of this quick little timeout.
Whatever everybody wants to do doesn't matter.
There you go. Whatever you want to do, just wait until we get back. Everybody listen to WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. It's only the third break of the night. We'll be back right on the other side of it.
It's all about the game. And how you play it, all about control. And if you can take it, all about your debt. And if you can pay it, it's all about pain. And who's gonna make it? I am the game.
Hey, it's Nick Cassidy from OWW Radio, and I want you to join me Tuesdays for the most opinionated wrestling talk on the Internet. We mix in current events and news from all over the world. It's nonstop opinionated wrestling news talk. It is OWW Radio at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Write it down. OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. That's the site known around the world, man. I've had the largest wrestling database worldwide, even in Canada. Huh? Come on, I'm just joking. But listen to OWW Radio with features like This Week in Wrestling History, where we make mention of all things that happened this week in wrestling history. Can you imagine it? Plus, the Match of the Week and OWW Jeopardy. That's where we test your wrestling knowledge. It's just like Jeopardy without Alex Trebek. We got interviews. Just recently, we interviewed Bret the Hitman Hart. Excuse me. I said Bret the Hitman Hart. OWW Radio at online, worldofwrestling.com. Also, clickwrestle.com and YouTube. We're there too, OWW Radio. And subscribe, slap nuts to us at the iTunes Store. OWW Radio is on Twitter, and we have Facebook also. OWW Radio, man, where fans and legends come together.
You know, Steph, maybe it was not so much that it was the game that was short. Maybe it was that the field I was playing on was just too damn big.
No! What in the world?
I don't know what you mean by that.
You don't know what I mean? Let me tell you what I mean.
No, don't. No. Please don't.
Yeah, look, these crude, crass people. Boy, kill him.
Let me tell you what I mean. Let me make it a little more clear for you. You see, Steph, even a 747 looks small when you're flying it into the Grand Canyon.
What in the world?
Wild Talk Radio is sponsored by Tripology. book your next trip with Tripology. If you're finding it's time to get away, you have an important upcoming business trip, or if it's last minute and you need to get there fast without any hassles, call Tripology today.
I'm sure.
If you're working too many hours and can't find the time to plan that badly needed vacation, then stress no longer. Tripology is here to help. Tripology will help you get to where you need to go, whether it's for an important business trip, a last-minute flight out to see a loved one, or that much-needed and overdue vacation. Now is the time to make Tripology your travel agent. Call Tripology toll-free at 1-866-289-9950 or log on to www.mytripology.com and plan your trip now.
This is Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night, and I have to admit, I'm kind of surprised we didn't hear O-Radio.
Don't give him ideas.
Too late. I already did. You realize this entire next week of Brock produced shows is going to have at least one playing of O-Radio. O-Scale, probably five.
I'm calling
I'm glad
it
I'm
six.
Not the I'm glad I'm not the only one who hates that fucking song.
So Will is going to do the show by himself because I know Spud doesn't like the song either. I tell you, if there's one person who's on the ball, it's our very own.
Yeah, hold on. Tim, I'm going to put this out to Rock. Rock, if you keep playing that fucking song, we're all going to quit and you're going to be left with Nick.
I'll know. Yeah, that's never going to happen, so... Nice threat, though, Mace.
Damn it.
Nice threat.
Okay, so apparently we're finding out in the chat room right now that the reason why Spug hung up so abruptly and hasn't been on the show tonight, he suffered a minor concussion. Apparently, domestic problems at home, his computer chair beats the fuck out of him.
Is this true? Man, it's just making him go crazy.
Is this true, Spug? Your computer chair beats you up? Wow. Man, I feel bad for you. If I were you, I'd divorce it and kick it out. You got to kick that shit to the curb, boyfriend. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you clip that rock and
well, that chair is a notorious dog abuser, so I'd agree with that.
Oh, yeah. Why don't we hear from from the horse's mouth himself. Spud, what the fuck happened?
The arm on my computer chair gave way and the plastic broke and I fell out onto my head and compressed my spine and gave myself a minor concussion.
Oh, so you're not wrestling this week?
No, I haven't been wrestling in a while, but when I went to the hospital for it, they asked me what happened, and I told them. My wife was sitting in the room, and they asked my wife to leave the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why? And they're like, well, we just have to ask you a few questions. And so she left, and they're like, do you feel safe at home? I'm like, yeah, why? she's the lady's like, well, we get a lot of spousal abuse victims, men and women, who blame domestic violence on accidents. I'm like, look, lady, my wife's a third degree black belt in Taekwondo. I'm pretty sure that if she wanted to beat my ass, she could. I'm like, my computer chair broke. I'm fat. Leave me alone.
Oh, my God. Well, welcome back, Spug. We missed you.
So the cops officially think Spug is the bitch in his relationship.
No, not the cops. The hospital workers. Or at least the nurse.
I can't blame them for doing their job. I mean, they have to do their job, so it's not like it's a big deal.
So, basically, you're Rihanna, and your chair is Chris Brown.
Yeah, my dog abusing, me abusing chair is
no, no, it's your dog that rigged the chair to break on you tonight.
I bet it, you know, but I did go buy a new chair while we were out.
Well, that's the important thing. Yeah, before we get to quick hits here, guys, quick news hits. There is a rumor TNA is bringing back the six-sided ring, and that Hogan is going to be architect of it, so he can be, like, you know, the fans' buddy on that one. Joey Mercury returning to the WWE. They're thinking about tying his addiction, remember the painkiller addiction, into his return by connecting him with CM Punk's Straight Edge Society. Now, this could have some ramifications, don't you think?
Built in due to John Morrison, I like it.
You know, it could work quite nicely. What else is in the news? Linda McMahon's opponent, what's his name? Rob Simmons, not to be confused with Ron Simmons. Okay, go ahead quickly.
I'm a bit slow tonight. You have to give me a minute, all right? I had 260 pounds fall on my head. You have to give me a minute. The Joey Mercury thing.
Yeah.
With CM Punk. Yes, built-in feud, great, but really, isn't that a bit of hypocrisy there? I mean, you couldn't try to bring Jeff Hardy into your Straight Edge Society, but yet Joey Mercury you're going to bring in?
Well, here's the thing, right? He's been gone long enough, maybe he's, you know, they could talk about he's overcome his addictions and stuff like that. We'll see how it plays out.
I could see them in a heartbeat saying that, you know, CM Punk has been the one that's been getting him off this for the whole time he's been gone.
I'm just wondering. Just asking.
There we go. Anyway, moving on, Linda McMahon's opponent, Rob Simmons, not confused with Ron Simmons, is also in the news hits this week. Linda McMahon being taken to task for the character Eugene in WWE. And he's saying, well, you're making fun of the retarded people by throwing a retard into the ring. And Linda's defense is, he's a mentally handicapped character that always wins. He comes out on top at the end. As long as they don't see the last few times that Eugene was on WWE TV, she might get away with that. Just saying.
I'm sorry, but if you take that Eugene character seriously, then you're a bigger retard than the character was portrayed as.
There you go.
I've been talking this whole time with my mic muted. Son of a bitch.
Well, speaking about retards, ladies and gentlemen, we have found WTR's Eugene, and his name is Will.
Oh, bullshit. Spug is done.
So, okay, he's Scott Hall. He's Eugene.
Okay, he's Scott Hall. He's Eugene. I get it now. Omega, who the hell are you? Mike Adamlin. Got
fucking it. Omega. No. I never botched anybody's name.
You know what? I'd rather be Eugene than Mike Adamlin. Have fun with that, Omega.
There you go. Yeah.
What was that idea you had for Jeff Hardy?
Hardly?
Hardly? Harvey?
Harry? Jeff Harry?
No,
Hurry? Jeff Hurry? Hervey? Jason Hardy?
Hervey? Or it's a wrestling beetle.
Harding? Harding? Was it Jeff Harding?
I was saying during the Eugene thing that didn't they include a video of the Sandman beating the shit out of Eugene?
Moving on. Ron Simmons is retiring again.
Again? Damn. That's how he already did.
Yeah, well, have you got anything to say about that, Spug?
Damn. No, because I liked Ron Simmons. He was the first black NWA champion.
Okay, Mace got it. Why couldn't you?
Because I'm not in the mood, dude.
Okay, Omega?
I wasn't even paying attention.
Okay, well, you have anything to say about Ron Simmons retiring?
Damn.
Yeah, there you go. All right, nice way to blow things up. God damn it. So, yeah, and as mentioned earlier, Awesome Kong denied last week. She asked for her release from TNA, and they said, no, you stay here, damn it.
Maybe this time she needs to punch Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, there you go. And
I'm kind of glad she's such a spotlight in that knockouts division, and it was mostly over Bubba the Love Sponge being such a moron.
Well, hey, just proof that you can can get you over.
We live vicariously through Awesome Kong.
There you are. Okay, so that
proves that you suck Hogan's dick hard enough, you can get away with just about anything. Just ask Bubba.
That's the quick news hits of the night. Now, speaking about hits, it's time for WTR's Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk for You Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
All right, really quickly, Quick Hits. We'll try to get through this as quickly as possible so Spud can go lie down and stay awake because he's got a concussion. We'll start with Spud. Are you ready, Spud?
I suppose.
Okay. The Elimination Chamber in 2 weeks. What's your favorite multi-man gimmick match?
Honestly, it was one that they only did once, and it was the six-man Hell in a Cell.
Oh. Okay. What'd
you
like that?
Quick.
Yeah, that's quick. What'd you like that so much?
Well, you look at the carnage that you can cause in a normal Hell in a Cell, and when you put Rikishi's fat ass on top of the Hell in a Cell and then kick him off, that automatically makes it number one.
Okay, two words. Omega says hayride bump.
That's one of my favorite ones.
Okay, that works. Will, your turn. Who was the greatest ECW champion in the modern ECW?
Modern?
Yeah.
I'd be lying if I said anyone else but Christian. Second one would be RVD. He'd be first, except he got high and got caught.
There you go. Okay. Omega, your turn.
Mm-hmm.
Name three positive things the modern ECW brought to the wrestling world.
Well, it brought Christian back and put him in a spotlight.
As small as it might have been, yeah, that's one.
Gave us a hilarious video on YouTube about Braden Walker.
Okay, yeah, we'll give you that one.
And, is this specifically the ECW show or the brand as a whole?
The modern ECW. That's it. Just interpret it any way you want.
Even though the first was better, I'd still say the one-night stand pay-per-views.
Really? You forgot O-Radio?
Yes, I did.
You know, I don't think that was a positive thing out of the modern ECW, but, you know, whatever, that's just me. Mace, your turn. Who's more valuable to the WWE, Randy Orton or Edge?
Oh.
Ooh, God damn, that's a...
Bitch, yes, I
damn.
Know.
Damn, that is. That's a real bitch of a question, actually.
Damn!
Because, yeah, damn.
Damn.
Given the fact that you got one on SmackDown and one on Raw, they're both equally as valued as each other.
Orton, because he got rid of Kennedy.
No, I'm sorry, Kennedy's still wrestling, so I'm going to revoke that one.
Okay, there you go.
But I'm going to say they're both as valuable as each other to their respective brands.
Hmm. Judges, can we let them get away with that?
Yes, because Rated RKO was an awesome team.
Hmm. Okay, you're right in the fence. We'll move on. Back up to Spug. Spug, do you like Bret Hart with or without the hair extensions that we've seen on his last two appearances on Raw?
I like Bret Hart, one, without the hair extensions, and two, without the Pillsbury Doughboy slack jaw look on his face.
It's kind of hard to get away from that when you've had a stroke.
You know, there's a difference between being strokey and just looking like someone took your puppy and ripped its head off in front of you.
To be fair, he's usually looking at Vince or Sean at the time.
Yeah, okay, you know, laugh all you want, but I still call that a fail. Will, if you were to go out on a Valentine's date with any WWE diva, who would it be, and what would you use as your pickup line?
Oh, fuck. You know what? Wait. I'd probably say Mickey James and oh, fuck me.
Hey, I'm Will. I can drink Scott Hall under the table.
Bing. Yeah, I was just going to say, it's a good thing it's not Omega, because he'd have a real conundrum, because he could actually use what you said, Will, only refer to Lita.
I'd say Lita and say, oh, fuck me.
It'd have to be a blind date, and yeah, that'd be my initial reaction.
Well, yeah, but you see where I say, why I say it would be a real conundrum. Okay, now picking on Lita. There you go.
Never.
Well, okay, we're going to skip this, actually, and just go to Mace in case we lose him with his bandwidth regulation and restriction. Mace, if you could star in any reality show, what would it be? Even if he made one up.
No. I know the exact answer to this one. It's one I've been watching recently called I Survived a Japanese Game Show.
Oh, yeah. That's a great show.
I want to be on that show, man. That looks awesome.
For those of you that don't know it, why don't you just fill everybody in really quickly on what the show's all about, Mace?
The basic of it is 10 Americans get sent to Japan to compete on a Japanese game show to win $250,000. And they have to go through all the wacky, weird, like, popping balloon eggs with your butt while dressed as a chicken and a claw game and delivering packages through a wind tunnel, and it's weird, it's wacky, and I laugh. I love it. I want to be on that show, man.
It's an awesome show. It's just, oh, fucking funny. It's great. That's entertainment. That right there, that's entertainment. All right, so we're saving the worst for last. Omega.
Oh, no.
If you could change one thing about Sir Rockin... No, okay, I can't do that because...
That's not the question, Tim.
I know, I'm getting to it. I just don't want to ask the fucking question because I'm scared of the answer, okay?
I'll ask a question if you don't want to ask it.
Okay, Rock, you ask him the damn question.
Omega, if you could change one thing about Tim Stein, what would it be?
Oh, no, I can't. I can't give him hair, and I can't give him youth, because we'd lose all of our material.
I've got hair, bitch.
Just not on the top of my head.
Easier. That is difficult. You know what? If I could change anything or give you anything, I'd probably give you your own little indie wrestling promotion, because I miss the days when Stampede would invade the show all the time.
Oh,
I love that.
That's so sweet, man. I'm getting all choked up.
Yeah, I thought it'd be so bad.
There, yeah, well, it's not. Well, it's a good thing you got the question and not Spug.
No Canadian reference there? Get rid of Tim's Canadianism or something?
Fuck you.
Or nicer than that. See, I happen to accept Tim for his many, many, many flaws.
Omega, you need a towel to wipe that jizz off your face, buddy.
Okay, Rock, you want to hang up on Omega? Because I think I'm the only one. the left-handed compliment. I just want to clarify to you, Streamer 5028 in the chat room, okay? You can drop the Jew jokes. First off, I'm not Jewish. Secondly, I'm not that fucking old. Thirdly, let it go, bud. The only Jewish person on WTR is the producer, and he's only halfway there.
And he looks Mexican.
God, yeah, he looks like a Mexican. What the fuck? I'm half Norwegian, half Danish, second generation Canadian. I'm also related to Jesse fucking James, so keep it up and I'll shoot you in the back during a bank robbery.
Or so he'll die at a card game, whichever.
Jobber's Jewish.
Jobber's a fake Jew.
He's a fake Jew because he doesn't really practice it, but he makes a great dreidel. And how can you say no to a matzo ball soup, right?
Any Jew can make a good dreidel. It's like a Canadian not being able to make a Zamboni. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, you just shave the sides off a top and you've got it.
Oh, my God. All right, that's it. We're getting out of here. Final thoughts for Will.
Has anyone noticed that every week so far they've snuck in a shot at the six-sided ring fans?
Yes.
I missed that. Omega.
Watch Kennedy's promo.
Do we have to?
No. I wouldn't do that to you.
Omega, final
thought.
Thank
you very much. Not a whole lot other than Hulk Hogan seems to have gotten in way over his head as far as trying to help run this little promotion full of people that he doesn't like, apparently.
Okay. Mace?
In Australia, we just had a wrestling company known as MPW close. I, for one, couldn't be happier because while they were all celebrating and taking the owner and putting her up, shoulders and being all celebratory, I wish they'd fucking remember all the people that they fucking stepped on and all the dreams that they crushed on their way to becoming who they are. That place was a shithole, and I'm glad it's dead.
Bada bing, bada boom. Spud, are you coherent?
Yes.
Final thoughts.
Hey, Mav, go fuck yourself. And you know what? Here's what. Just a shorter version. Fuck Mav.
And we weren't going to do that tonight, actually, because he's been wanting to do that, and he's been recording the fucking show, and we were doing everything we can not to give him the goddamn fucking sound clip. Now he's got the sound clip.
No, he don't.
Why?
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't, because it's over music. He can't use it.
Oh, sweet. Good job, Rock. Congratulations. Hey. So, anybody have any rants before I say goodnight?
Go, mate. I want next week.
Music's already playing. Let's do it next week.
Okay, we're going to do two-minute rants next week to make up for it. We kind of sort of forgot about it. Yeah, let it go by the wayside. Everybody, there you go. You've been tuned in to WTR Sunday night. Thank you very much for listening to us pretend we know what the fuck we're talking about on a regular basis. Nope. Don't forget, Tuesday night, 8, Nick Anthony returns to Wild Talk Radio with another edition of OWW Radio, followed by Talk Live. Geek speak the way these can only do. And then, of course, Fire and Ice returns Wednesday night. A little bit more hockey talk. We had a great improv-style show on... was that just last night, Spud? Holy cow, it was. And we had a lot of people. That was a pretty impressive turnout in the chat room, I'll tell you. So if you want to learn a little bit about hockey, tune in Wednesday night, Fire and Ice, 10 o'clock Eastern. And I guess Mav does the show, but you know what? We're not going to say it, but F you to him on Thursday.
Toss off.
Toss off. Toss off, Mav. Isn't that blitter?
Drag off, Mav.
There you go. Yes. Yeah. Call him a wanker and be done with it. All right. So
running a wanker.
There you go. Running the ropes Thursdays at 6 p.m. Might be moving to Fridays. Pay attention, and we'll see what happens. And, of course, next Saturday, CB Radio, around midnight-ish. You know, the show that lets you listen to Cindy Sin rap rock around her pinky yet one more time. I'm saying pinky because I don't want to get into that much trouble. Everybody, have yourselves a great week. We'll catch you next Sunday night for another
Wait. See you next week.
Oh, there's a TNA pay-per-view next week, so we're going to be on next Sunday night right after
pay-per-view. It's Valentine's Day, so who knows who's going to show up.
Oh, we're going to kill somebody.
11 o'clock Eastern time with a trimmed-down WTR roster. How's that?
Good enough.
Okay. Goodbye, everybody. See you later, guys. Have a great week. Bye the shirt.
Oh, you faggot.
Fab, this is my dick. You can suck it.
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.